Coming up on the Assassins Podcast, we've got Cody Candy, the CEO and co-founder of Bounce, coming on to talk about his story around how he got the insights for Bounce while traveling around the globe and how he convinced total strangers to hand over their things for cash. Cody also touches on how building a company that was dependent on travel really focused his team in on doing the things that matter most in the midst of the lockdown and how they persevered through that. And he also touches on what were those early signals during those days that gave him conviction that this was the thing that was going to be huge and kept the team going. He also discusses really how he took more of a helpful approach in working with his early customers and saying, hey, what were the problems that we could set out to solve for small businesses and really aligning with them as partners to ultimately build value and unlock a lot there. Growing his team entirely remote and globally as well through the pandemic. And lastly, he touches on a couple of really insightful and tactical things on establishing and building network effects as he's built the Bounce Network. Really awesome pod, a lot of really great insights to share. Excited to have him on. So with that, let's get it going. Assassins, let's roll. See them dollar signs, hustle, grind. Assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin state of mind, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin state of mind, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind. They say money over everything, everything, cash in the game. What's going on? It's your host of the Assassins Podcast, Justin Vandehey. It's Friday, as it is every week here at the Assassins Podcast, coming to you live from Portland, Oregon. I've got a really special guest in the studio today. I'll give the full intro, but we go way back to the land of milk and cheese, to Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin. We also started our careers together at Intuit, but I was excited to have him on because he is someone that's gone through a ton as he's gone through founding his company. His name is Cody Candy, CEO and founder of Bounce. Cody, welcome to the Assassins Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
Yeah, man. Okay, so let's get into it. I kind of gave most of your intro already, but I would love, yeah, maybe just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, quick overview on how we met, and just what, yeah, what is Bounce?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Justin and I met at Intuit. We were both going through the product management rotational program, starting our careers, and both originally hailed from UW, and also both were entrepreneurial minded. And so I joined Intuit out of college because I felt like it was a great opportunity to get started in the tech industry and get experience building products. And it really laid the foundations for me in terms of starting a company. I think that product management was a great background because you're working closely with engineering. You're thinking a lot about the business side of things. You're thinking about design. And yeah, Intuit also was really big at the time, probably still is, on sort of lean prototyping. How do you test ideas really quickly? And so yeah, it really felt like the perfect place for me to start my career, but I always had the goal of starting a company. I was always very entrepreneurial. And so coming out of Intuit, I actually first spent some time backpacking around Southeast Asia and other parts of the world for a while, and then thinking about what I wanted to do next. And Bounce was an idea that I had for several years. And then I just decided to start prototyping one day. I had this vision of Bounce being this, creating this world where you can summon your things away from you and to you. The light bulb moment came to me when a friend, a fellow Intuit coworker, we were all gonna do a work happy hour on a Friday night one night, and he said, "I'm gonna join, but first I'm gonna go all the way home just to drop my bag off because I don't want to carry it with me all night." That's when I thought, "Wow, we spend so much time planning our days around our things. What if you could just summon your things away from you and to you?" So that was the big crazy vision. Too much vision and not exactly yet a business idea, but I was just sitting on that concept for years. And then it was time for me to start something, and I was just like, what could it be? Maybe there's a slice in there that I could start with. And ultimately, I was living in New York at the time. I put up a landing page, some Google AdWords, and said, I'll come pick up your, someone will come, Bounce will come pick up your bag and bring it to a storage location and bring it back to wherever you are later when you want it later. And sure enough, people were calling saying, yeah, can you pick up my bag? And that kind of validated the first thing that I thought would make the business hard, which is, are people willing to hand over their valuables to a stranger? Sure enough, they were. And so from there, we figured out the logistics piece, which was really hard. Basically, what we figured out was that a lot of people were willing to drop off their bags themselves and pick them up in that same location. No delivery, no logistics needed. And so Bounce was born. What Bounce is today is a network of small business locations where you can leave your luggage for a few hours or a few days. And yeah, we've now scaled that to over 1,000 cities, which is crazy. Started just in New York and then all over the US. And now you can find us in just about every major city in the world. And our vision has evolved further to basically help these small businesses that we work with to help them make even more money with their unused space. So we launched package acceptance in local businesses. Now you can ship all your packages there. And in the future, we want people to walk down the street, see the Bounce logo, and say, oh, cool, there's Bounce. There's a Bounce store. I can do these 20 different services there. So we've got a lot to build and a long way to go.
I love it. It's such a, just thinking about where y'all were at, that I love that initial insight that you had, just initiating from a transition point, backpacking across the world. I feel like I've come into such a similar, like just thinking about my own travel and how many times I've been in a situation where I'm like, oh my God, this thing I'm hauling around is such a pain in the ass. So it's occasionally my children, but like most of the time it is luggage. As an extension of that point, I know when the pandemic hit last, you know, I feel like we've been in it now for almost 20 years, it feels like. I think what's really remarkable about your story is just how difficult some of these businesses were impacted by the pandemic. And I think what's really awesome about your story is how you as an entrepreneur persevered through that. I'd love to hear what your experience was like building Bounce in the midst of the pandemic, especially when things like travel were being halted. How did you summon the will to persevere through that?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a crazy time when I think it was March 17th rolled around 2020, the day that the WHO declared that it was a pandemic. It was definitely a day for Bounce where we're thinking, wow, what's going to happen? Funny enough, leading up to that, there was talk of COVID and is this going to affect travel? It was already affecting cruise lines. And we actually saw our numbers continuing to go up. We were on a really nice growth trajectory at the time and our numbers kept climbing. And then climbing every day. And then March 17th, then that day it went to zero. The next month, April 2020, we had basically zero customers. So it wasn't like things slowly started to decline. It was just a complete drop off. So that was wild. And there was definitely a lot of uncertainty for everyone of, is this going to be a 3-month thing or a 6-month thing? Yeah. And so, yeah, for us, we were thinking, all right, we had a bunch of roles we were about to hire and we just said, let's not hire them right now. Let's see what happens. But yeah, there really was a lot of uncertainty of what we should do. And fast forward a few months and we decided to, for the most part, keep our foot on the gas and continue to build SEO efforts. So that knowing that you might not get any revenue the next month or even that year, but once travel started coming back, more people would find us on Google. And then we also continued to build our store network, which was tough because the week after the pandemic started, businesses were like, why are you calling me? I have bigger things to deal with. Like, this is inappropriate. And we're like, oh shoot, we're just trying to stay alive here too and keep our momentum going. But then what happened next is we found pockets of the world that would open up. Summer 2020, although it was a bleak time for the US, Europe actually had a lot of reopenings, more so for Europeans than for Americans, but you could still travel to some places as an American. So then we went to Europe and we said, all right, let's go expand to Europe now. Let's capture these pockets of demand. And then Europe shut down again and Australia was opening up a little bit. And so we said, all right, let's now launch in Australia. And we certainly didn't have any major progress. Like, our revenue was still a fraction of what it was before. But that momentum and the sort of data-driven approach of keeping up with trends and where our customers looking for us we learned a lot from that. That is fully like it's really become a part of our DNA today, and how data centric we are, and how we just really zoom in on countries or cities to see what's going on. So, but yeah, actually my co-founder, a couple months into the pandemic, decided it was time for him to move on. And I don't blame him. It was a really bleak time for us. It wasn't clear that we would survive. My gamble was, yeah, let's keep pushing through and see what happens on the other side. And I think for him, a pretty reasonable decision to say maybe what's the next thing that he could build. And then he went on to start something new. So yeah, for me, what kind of kept me going was this giant vision for number one, the giant vision around how can we reinvent the world? So we build the remote control for your things, so to speak. And seeing the initial demand, I think we had gotten far enough with the business where we knew that there was definitely something here. And unless we never thought travel was going to come back, that we had something. And so, yeah, just thinking about what we wanted to build in terms of a 50-year journey instead of a 5-year journey, and saying what's a 1-year bump in the road on a 50-year journey? It's not that big of a deal. But if you think in the normal startup terms of 12 to 18 months of runway, which is a pretty rational thing to do, 1 year is obviously life or death. So we buckled down and cut most of our expenses and turned our runway into at least a couple of years, really low burn. And we made it through.
Were there, I guess, when you were going through it, were there specific signals that you saw that gave you conviction that this was something worth continuing on with?
Yeah. So one thing I learned during the pandemic that definitely gave us a lot of motivation was a month or two into the pandemic, I emailed all of our small business partners. These are the folks that have the physical retail space and store the luggage for, but they're running their own businesses as well. I emailed all of them and I said, what can Bounce do to help you? Here's some ideas of other things we could do. Package acceptance, that was another vertical that we had in mind for a while around customers could ship all their packages to the nearby Bounce location. We had all these different ideas. And the resounding answer was these small businesses were like, yeah, like anything y'all can do to help us make more money, like we're down for it. This new vertical here, this other new vertical idea there, like we're down for all of it. And so that idea of, wow, like we can, small businesses are, I would say, pretty underserved by the technology industry. And having built something so far for them that worked outside of pandemic times, plus the conviction that we can build other things for them, I think was a huge point of inspiration for us. And so we started working on this new vertical package acceptance and started thinking about other ways to help small businesses make money with this idea of how can we be the operating system for small business retail space, or at least small business retail space or the excess space that they had, and just power all these new verticals for them. So yeah, that was definitely a boost of excitement that we got that really made the folks on the team even more excited to be building Bounce despite the conditions still completely suppressing our business.
Yeah. So first of all, major kudos on the Series A. So for the listeners, Cody managed to not only raise a freaking awesome Series A, he also raised from one of the most influential investors in the networks effects space, which is great, from Andreessen. So Andrew Chen. So congratulations on that. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think to that as a follow-up question, Andrew's book, The Cold Start Problem, I freaking love it because I've been thinking a lot about network effect businesses. I'd love maybe just to get your perspective on the Bounce Network. Draw a little insight for folks that maybe are thinking about building network effect businesses. How have you thought about either the hard side of the network, building that out, just more about anything that you've learned from building a network effect that you think would be valuable for folks to think about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the most exciting things about network effects is if one side of your business can help build the other side, that's really exciting. And it's really hard where it's exactly like that. So for us, we have stores on one side and then customers, often travelers, on the other side. So the way that I think about it are there ways where one side can build the other? We have to do both at Bounce, but are there ways that one side could supplement the other? And so we've done some fun things like a lot of our stores have Bounce signage outside, not just a window sticker, but also sometimes a sidewalk sign where you walk down the street and it's just in your face. And so if we sign up a store and that store can bring in an extra 5%, 10% more traffic than we could without doing that, that's huge right there too. And then on the customer side, we have seen behavior where a customer has used Bounce and then referred a friend, or maybe they happen to own a small business somewhere, and the customers, like having more customers leads to more stores, more inbound leads for us. And so, yeah, we absolutely see some of that. And our job is not just to build both sides of the network, but to think about how we can nurture and encourage and incentivize that kind of behavior where winning on one side leads to success on the other side. Because it'll always grow in lockstep. If 1% of our customers refer a store, for example, I'm just making those numbers up. If we get 10 times bigger and that 1% stays constant, like that's always a 1% boost that we'll have. And then if we can do conversion tweaks, messaging or letting people know more about that opportunity or giving some kind of incentive, if we could turn 1% into 3%, or if we're talking bigger numbers, 10% or 20%, there's just massive impacts that can come there.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting too in the book, and just from his experiences at Uber, just how tactical they were by region. And I just think about it's so cool to hear even things like the local signage. You talk about those examples, how some of that stuff is very, you think about building networks and how massive they can be, but then just like at a grassroots level, how intentional you need to be. Like, I know you mentioned you're growing your team globally. Like, you have employees in Lisbon now. I'd love to, yeah, just like hear your perspective on how that scale has gone too, and how you all planning to grow the team as you put this fresh powder to work.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we started Balance in New York, I remember one of the first things people said is, oh, I was thinking about raising money. People were like, oh, this is just a New York problem. This wouldn't work in other cities. And I was like, oh, I think it would. Then we launched in San Francisco. And I was like, okay, cool. We got a couple cities here. And then we launched in the rest of the US. Anyways, one of the top pieces of customer feedback was, oh, I had a great experience with Balance in New York. I'm going on a trip to Miami or to Paris, and why can't Balance be there? And so we realized early on how important global expansion would be for us. And if we can acquire a customer and they can use us over and over again, if we're everywhere, then the economics of the business just work better. So yeah, I would say compared to other companies, it made more sense for us to focus on international expansion earlier. So 2020, we already had plans to go to Europe. We were, obviously that got thrown in the air when COVID came, but we decided to stick with it anyways. And there are some regional differences, but for the most part, we'll have Americans use us in every country, in most countries. We'll have French people come and use us in the US or in Paris or wherever. But yeah, we really needed to adopt this global mindset from the start and say, we're not building for a region, we're building for the world. And so we vet for that when hiring. We hire folks from everywhere. I think we have folks from more than 10 countries on the team. We want folks who think, yeah, we're building this for the world, not just for this one region. And so now we have an office in Lisbon. We had an office in San Francisco before the pandemic. We don't have a formal office here right now. But we hire from everywhere and love folks who really, really think global first.
Awesome. Yeah. That's great, man. I guess last question as we wrap things up, the most important one is how often do you get back to Wisconsin? Have you made it back to the homeland? I feel like we got to get the band back together and do some damage in Madison.
Yeah, definitely. I'm probably averaging about 2 times per year.
Once, that's not bad.
Once in the summer and once in the around Christmas time. My dad still lives out there. My little sister still lives out there. So I'll see them and make trips over there.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, Cody, I guess we're also wrapping up. Is there anything else you want to plug beyond Balance? Like, where can people get at you if they're interested in learning more about Balance or interested in getting in touch?
Yeah, Twitter. My handle is Cody Candy, CodyCandee. We're hiring across the board, all different kinds of roles. We hire remotely everywhere. And then we also just signed an awesome new office in Lisbon. 3 stories. We employ folks from everywhere there. So a lot of Americans will like to take their US salary and go move to Lisbon. And yeah, we love that. So I'm excited to meet other founders and folks in Lisbon, and spend a lot of time in San Francisco as well. But yeah, we're hiring across the board, and we have our office in Lisbon, and folks are moving from all different kinds of places to come work with us in Lisbon.
I love it. I might have somebody crashing on your couch in Lisbon here, man. I'm just putting the warning out there.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, Cody, appreciate you, brother. Thank you for taking the time here. You are truly an assassin. Best of luck getting Bounced to the next stage here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. All right, that's a wrap. Big shout out to Cody Candy, the entire team at Bounce. Love what y'all are building. Major, major kudos and congrats on the Series A raise from Andreessen. Can't wait to see what y'all do here to get to that next stage. Got a couple things going on at Assassins this week, but a really, really awesome guest coming on next Friday. I'll give you a hint. You will be captivated, incredibly captivated. He's a good friend. We've gone back several years, but coming on, he's an author. He's founding his own business right now that's been crushing. So excited to share a couple things on how to build and engage an audience. But with that, hope everyone has a good week. And just remember to keep getting that money. Assassin's state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin's state of mind. Assassin's state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line. Assassin's state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin's state of mind. Assassin's state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line. Assassin's state of mind. They say money over everything. Everything, engage in the game. Shopping for a wedding ring, salary, startups, crypto, stock exchange. Appreciate every penny, pocket change. One phone call and your life can change. What's your love language? Can't do business if it ain't reciprocated. Closing deals on a daily basis.